And this one is talking about the target. It's what we were saying now, that in terms of our quota, we really put a target date here to send up for applications for IDs. That is the first issue. One is the process and issue within 5 days. In this regard, we've got, as a department, we've got a dashboard which we are using to manage this, where we know how many applications were received in a particular office, how many as well, how long it takes to be issued and all that. So we are saying now, at least within 65 days, we want that an ID from application after the issue must be produced by the applicant. And then in terms of the reissues, because reissues now, that now I've lost my ID, or just damaged, and all that, all information is already there in terms of the issue, so now that one should be processed within 35 days. However, the temporal issue on the same day, what we're talking about is the IT to come back. And then application information would have been passport, processed and issued within 10 days, and that is the passport. And then in terms of our permits, section 22 permits, one is to issue within 1 day. And since that can be determination finalized within 6 months on average, it's still too high, but it's a long process. And 90 days of issuance of the refugee ID, and then travel at 1.5 and 2 million. I'm sure the minister is going to talk about this thing tomorrow. So if I was saying that the city when people are coming into the children, that our cost of entry, we could be taking those minutes to process that impacted in the system. And that 6 months of issues of permanent and residence permits, and 4 weeks of issues of temporary residence permits, 1 week of issues of temporary residence permits, 10 days of issues of temporary residence permits. As Chair has indicated that we've got a dashboard which we are really looking at managing this time and line that we will set up for. So Chair, now after that I'm going to be going on to the budget and to the two years in terms of the time. How is it
I'm giving you 30 minutes.
Well, this one is just to demonstrate how every department is going to take now that support that money would just be this slide was just demonstrating what as a department is putting the fees to National Treasury in terms of what we were requesting to be with the 2010-11. And now in terms of organizational structure, we have received some money in terms of our salary increase. But with the rest, there was nothing provided by Treasury. No check that it was a year of the type bank. There was no money from National Treasury in 2010-11. So in summary, what we're saying is that for 2010-11, we received an additional amount of 224 million, and in 2011, that is an indication of the figure, which is what I've just get to. I don't know very much on that. So what we'll be dealing with now is our baseline amount and how did we split that 224. So in overall, what we're saying now is the budget for the department of 2010-11 is 5.7 billion, which shows an increase of 14.7% as against the previous financial year. So you see that there is a reduction in 85 million. Departments are really compelled by National Treasury, which we're saying is a good thing, where we have to look at it, where are the areas where we can cut and save, where they are wasteful. So we have to see and identify those areas, so as a department we have to look about 85 million to do that. Then, Chair, so what we are saying now is something that the budget has increased by 8.7%, but under administration is only 0.3%, under services to 6.4%. A huge decrease that Chair on the immigration. The bulk of amount under immigration services was from 2010. So we are now in 10-11, it's just up to July, then after that. So that's why now there is that decrease. So that was just comparing now between 2009 and 2010 in terms of the standard items. The one issue change which we have in the slide is that the budget of capital is still reducing, which we are not happy about that, because capital is money which is more in investment than other. So we'll be looking at this as we approach National Treasury and say we need to really look at our capital investment. So what we're saying here is that when I take that budget and say 1.896 has gone to compensation of employees, 2 billion has gone to goods and services, and the 4.8% that's the same thing, 139 has gone to capital. So as a department, you can say we've got a budget of 4.1 billion. Because the 1.582 is the one which was transferred to government, printing work, was transferred to IEC, was transferred to the Filament Board. So they're in total 1 month. So here we're trying to say now how this at a high level we split it up to the compensation and all that. In terms of goods and services, that 2 billion, 140 million is going to the devolution fund. What it means is where public works is renting our properties, paying electricity and all that, that money goes there. The UMI online is the system which we're implementing with the department. We've got 394 million to continue with that. We have put 164 million for IT projects. I'll be coming with the details of that. The question project change which we set up with the department in support of those strategic objectives I was talking about, then I'm going to see how we use that money to those projects. And then office accommodation, 2010 project, that amount I said is only from April to July and summer, so we'll see how we have done that. Then in terms of operations, so CDC for 2015, administration, then so when I go to capital project, that 159, 57 was given to IT, 28 was special project, then 27 Remember, Chair, I said we wanted to implement those cameras in our offices, so that 27 million is earmarked for that. And then government motor transport, what we mean with that, Chair, in terms of access to our services, we also use the issue of the mobile units. So this, we identified that though we got those big cars, but they've got problems to go into certain areas. So we started now to buy 4x4. So now with that, 23, we increase our 4x4 fleet in order to be able to approach it. So remember, I said all our payments are done at headquarters. So we've got that 3.1 million to implement the locus into our offices so that now we decentralize our procurement. Then with IT, we talked about the improvement of our information services infrastructure. We've put 88 million for that, 45 with the current in terms of those vendors I was talking about, and 42 we need to refresh some of the equipment. And then for the refugee system, we are looking to implement a system to manage our refugees, so that we have put another million for that. And then system realignment and enhancement. Remember, I talked about integrating tools, and also we put an amount about 15 million for that. And then our harness identification infrastructure, for that. And disaster recovery system, we put 40 million lives to support them. So we're looking for those objectives and around IT that how now the project has been allocated. Then special projects. I talk about special projects. PDMF, remember I said we go to Treasury in Oka for the PDMF. But for now, we need to really look at that strategy. So the 3 million is really for kickstarting that process. Data quality management, we're 19 million. Chair was engaged in the national campaign, what I talked about. So 17 million is for the campaign which was made in the department. 10 million sounds big, but Chair, you remember I talked about leadership. The cost is going to do and all that around transformation, so 10 million is to deal with that. And then we've got a learning center in the department. So really that 10 million is just to kickstart the process of the learning center in the department so that we can be able to do this in-house training within the department for that 10 million. So in all, we have 20 million for this issue. Then live capture, remember I said we're in the 40 stations now, we want to roll out to other, so for 17 million for that. Then one of the things, Chair, which was saying we want to manage is what they were really looking at the customers. We want now to implement an electronic queue management system in our offices, but 5 million is for the fee. So that when people come in, take that form, it must get into that system. So that now the person can look at now I'm going to that counter, I'm called, what time did I finish? And then the management must be able to know that if somebody comes in to apply for the passport, he stays in that office for 2 hours, but in that one for 3 hours. So this system is going to assist us. With the passport, we started to implement a new passport and check on this issue. The problem we are sitting with, we have gone back to Treasury, is that the passport, the cost to produce the passport now is at 2010, 11, is about 364 lakhs. But what we are charging per passport is only 180 lakhs. And then Treasury gave us about 102 lakhs for the passport. So we have submitted now to National Treasury a proposal to increase so we're hoping for their results to come properly by end of April. However, that 90 million allows us to bridge that gap of able to pay government printing work was our cost of upgrade to the government. So the 17 million is very little. But what we are trying to do here is to say we want our offices to go to because we're saying if I go to the country, whether it is in Cape Town or whatever, I know that I'm doing the capital in that. So the capital was designed, what we call a look and feel, which is how our offices must look like. So that's the 17 million for us to proceed with that process. But as I'm saying, it is still too little to take in our total number of offices, which are around about 400 or something. So what is just to push for that. Stakeholder forum chair, I've said the minister in the campaign said we want to base that with the community. So now for us to run those setting up of those community structures, those got an amount of 1.5 million to deal with that. And telephone systems, chair in the department, you could use all systems for one to really put a system which will run on a voice over IP, and our intention with that telephone system is really to have a booth in the customer area, because that booth will just be linking to us. So that if a customer is in this office and is getting a problem, we are going to pick that phone and call, and not depending to the people behind the counter. But it's still going to take us time, but that's what we want to start and implement. The centers of excellence said there are areas which have been identified where we would be combining like centers of health and all that. So for the department, this is our contribution from the 24 million. And then the 25 million is to refurbish some of the offices. Remember, I talked about the 10, that's what I have 25 million. Head office accommodation chair, we were at Watley, and the headquarters is outside. So now we'll be moving by May, the ministry will move to a building which is in Arcadia, and then by August, civil services will move to our building which is at PPR, which is at the corner, the Kopmare, and Portman, and chaired by 1st of April 2011. Department will move into the CPG area in a building called Home Market at a close. So then we'll be back now as a home affairs to the CPG area. However, Chair is still on but out of those three buildings, we'll be renting one. Because the one at Akate is a government building, the one at Jacob Mahe is a government building, the one which we stick to on a lease is the one at the Home Market. But the intention is that we will have, before that lease expires, we will start to move for the permanent of home affairs. Then the additional 34 million shares for the new lease, which we again will be signing to increase our expenses. Then 2010 project, chair is one now which is dealing with the 2010. We have a volunteer program. For only 2010, where people will be coming in and asking people to deal with the truth and people coming in. And then we'll be dealing with our issues of our mission across. Communication outreach for the 2010. On board clearance, as I said, that we got this advanced process, and the process will be seen. We're looking at being able to clear people while they are in their place. And then join border clearance in terms of now our ports of entry. And then in certain countries, we'll be putting airlines and officers in those countries that look at in terms of the volume of tickets so that the people in the countries to be able to process those. And then we'll create an operations center change during that time to make sure that if there are issues, they just go into that operational center. So that's what around the 2010. Chair, this one now just gives us how the money is split now between headquarters, projects, provinces at a high level, what I've already presented. And then and say, in terms of the problem, the money which has gone to the problem, in terms of the operation, I'm not talking about the capital and all those other things, is 1.2 billion, which I said it counts about 21-22% of our budget. Yes, headquarters is still not huge, but still when I talk about the way forward, so the headquarters was still having 67%, whereas the problem is only 1%. And the other issue which is facing the department is the issue of revenue. We are a revenue collector. As I've already talked, chances, we really want to look at this. So if our systems can be corrected in one, we can be able to look at our tariffs, we can put more on the fiscal. But at the moment, the problem was the shifting, so we really want to look at the things now. Up to 2000, if you look, it was 421, 365, and 429 million. And also, the UCO was also collecting revenue on our behalf abroad. The minister was saying to me that if you look at the people who are abroad, they, when they get these permits to us, because when you charge them, you look them like a van. He says, they are peanuts. So we really need to look at it and see what. So for 2010-11, we're looking at collecting our 455 and 42 and 54. In terms of when going forward, we are really looking at realignment of the departmental planning process. Why we're saying this, we're looking at those requests which we submit to National Treasury. So we want to start early our planning process so that what we submit to Treasury is really informed by the objective. This is what I was talking about, that we need to continue to reorganize the allocation of budget in terms of we want to see headquarters as a center of policy development and coordination, and provinces as centers of service delivery. So the budget should be able to tell us that. So that's what we wanted to look at, so that by the next day we're able to clean that up. And also, Chair, we're still worried and not indicated that we want to come up with a process of guidelines. How do we split our budget in terms of personnel, OPEX, and CAPEX? So we need balance those three to say, how many people do I need to drive a budget of a 2 million? So once we have done that, then we need now to split our budget. I've already discussed it, Chair, that another major thing which I'm looking at. The review of the tariff that our
revenue.
You have 1 minute left. Thanks, Mr. Chair. But I finish
again. I remember that. And I will finish before that. I've done it. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Let me take this opportunity to thank you for the briefing that you have just made. And also to inform the department that we will be having different interactions with the streaming and publication board so that we don't be trying to attending their meeting so that we should be able to get our money so that what they are doing. Same with the government council work, we will call them also, then also the electoral commission board and also call them to come in. What are their programs. And we also want, from the side of the committee, to welcome the programs that the department has identified in terms of ensuring that the face of the department or the people that are frontline workers are capacitated and also trained to ensure that the perception that the Home Affairs Department is a terrible department change. People should feel comfortable to access and also communicate with your officials in that department. In our business in the community street, there's an issue that was brought to our attention by your officials from Home Affairs who were giving a report to them. That, and also staff officials, they were telling us that when when they will try to do registration of newborn in hospital, because they don't have this same point that we are talking about in hospital. It's some kind of a makeshift arrangement currently. For instance, in some of the hospitals in Kukuli district, sometimes when people want to register their newborn, sometimes they struggle to have an office space where they can operate within the hospital itself. There's no office space which is dedicated for your officers to operate from. So sometimes they are there, sometimes they are not around, so there's no consistency in terms of registration in that regard. But the fact that I intend to expand this program, we welcome it. And I hope that those reports are taken to the hospitals and other facilities where there's a large number of people that are newborn that we can take. And another area is the one that I raised with the Minister of Canada. It's not only about the reluctance of the officials to go and register those cases, and also the attitude of the officials. You need to work hard to do that. Maybe in this training that I'm talking about, the real training of your officials, you have to emphasize on the positive attitude for them to be able to assist people who are struggling to get to the documents. And also the aspect of your office environment. In Long Goma, we went to an office building, we were frustrated, we had to go and speak to them and raise this issue. We had to go there. And there's a kind of a center. There's a justice office, there's a home affairs office, there are other offices, government offices around there. When you walk into that office, the buildings are okay, it's beautiful, but the surroundings are appalling. You have getting littering all over the grass like this. People say that if you want to see a government building, look at the grass, then you know that's the government building. All over the place after eating. So those are the things that we need to communicate to our officials to be aware of, because I mean, we don't have to spend any money to come to the place. You know, taking care of your environment. So those are some of the issues that we need. Let me allow the members to interact with you.
Very detailed, complicated test plan, strategic document that the department has presented. And for sure, like you said, they applaud them for the innovation of putting up new projects to root out this fraud and corruption in the department. But maybe one clarity on two or three things. One is on the centralization of process of payment and procurement to HQ head office. This is what informs that. Why do you have department, the offices, regional and local, the offices from provinces, and take up the matter of procurement and payment to a head office? Is it that you want to keep the corruption you're talking about, or is it that you want to centralize so that you must have a clean audit, as you say? But from what I see, I was just thinking broadly, DG, that if you put up offices everywhere, you give them space to operate, so that at least some of these things like procurement, some of these things like payment of small services that they have acquired are easily accessible and efficient. But if this arrangement is still there, why are you still operating in such arrangement? And I was also worried about the the issue raised about the Department of Public Works and Department of Home Affairs. Aren't we having and well aligned coordination between departments? Because when your department wants an office, speaks directly and there's the alignment in thinking an arrangement for the department to get an office without following a red tape protocol to achieve all what you actually want them to achieve in terms of office space and maybe land to get offices. I wanted clarity. Why isn't there any alignment in terms of efficiency between Department of Public Works and Home Affairs, maybe with other departments? And that was but my few questions. I've noted some few things here on the live capturing of ID photos. I think it's a good thing. It's extremely good because I've seen some. The what you see, taking out a photo and to put in another photo in an ID of a person. I've seen few of such activities. I think this one would actually have, we would have to support the department in doing it. And many others, I'll give to my colleagues to.
Member Tivillet?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chairperson. My first question is about the immigrants coming through our borders. What is the working relationship between the Department of Home Affairs and the defense so that we can get more control, especially on the northern borders and also on the eastern borders of our country? The next one is in connection with the birth certificates of the children of the immigrants, that is the illegal immigrants here. Is there control and also services there? And what is the situation? Can we get more information about that? And we find in our oversight, especially in the Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal, in the deep rural areas, the people have a lot of problems, especially to access the services of the Home Affairs. So there's a lot of children in that area is not registered. What is their services also planned to make them available to those people? Can you just get more information about that? I'm a bit worried about the statement by the DG about no registration or no ID document, issue of ID document during the campaign of the next election. So that will create a problem if the IEC decides to get those weekends for the registration of ID documents. Then we will have a problem with the Home Affairs Department to issue those documents. Then there is one about the seconded of one official to BMA. Is that sufficient to render that service? If not, what plan is there extra in the department to supply those services to the community? Then I'm a bit worried, Madam Chairperson, about the level 9 staff who's not included into the leadership development. It's only 7, 8, 10 can't remember 11 or 12, but 12 is certainly there. But I miss the level 9 employees there. The last one, I think I will take a second round if it is possible. But my last question is especially the same question around the procurement of goods and services by head office. There must be control, especially if head office decides that the department or the district office will be the person who handles this procurement on that side. What control is there, especially around that offices in the district? Because so easily can they happened something in that office, so that the department will have another problem in controlling their money. Thank you.
Okay, just a follow-up question on the service delivery point. The two songs, can you explain to us the, elaborate on the two songs that you are referring to in your report? And also the, I've received some documentation, from the web, the parliamentary web that says the Justice Department is busy with the formulation of a bill, if I can remember, on human trafficking. Now, I know that from what I've read on that document, the Home Affairs has also got a role to play on that. So what I want to check, have you budgeted for such instances of human trafficking? What measures have you put in place to try and curb the human trafficking here in South Africa from your point of view? And the 176 committees established to process death registrations virtually, who served in these committees? Then you can respond. There's also tea, you can grab a cup of tea whilst you are busy cutting.
The MOU, when it's been about the Department of Health.
That's why now as a department now we need to follow that process to go to public works and say, public works, these are the offices we want to open, these are the things that need to be done, and what are the time frames, and then we find an MOU with them and see what we get. But that's what we need to look into to do with regard to that. We have already followed with the Department of Health, so we need to do that. Actually, I think I'm similar to Mr. Kiva.
Thanks very much, Chair, and the Honorable Member and DJ. The first thing in relation to the office space in hospitals, yes, it is true, it is a challenge. However, we were able to get a letter from the acting DG of the Department of Health at that stage, who is then assisted us a lot, and a letter that was indicating the value of this project and why in the different provinces they must assist us to acquire the space. We have then indicated to all the provincial leadership of the department for them to ensure that they engage with the various hospitals and the superintendent of those hospitals to get the office space. So also using this letter now, because it explains the relationship. As the DG has indicated, we are in the process of finalizing the memorandum of understanding. It is already with the Department of Health. The legal people have looked at it on both sides. We're just now waiting for the signing ceremony in place. It then defines the scope of relationship, the nature of relationship, and what exactly do we need to do. There are two levels of challenges in the hospital. One is the issue of office space in some of the hospitals, and secondly, it is the issue of IT integration between our systems and their systems. And that is why then our IT and acting division, Mr. Macau, if time allows, can talk to that. But those are the areas we identified as possible constraining factors, and that then we are having that relationship, as the DG indicated, with them. We also have presented to the social cluster itself, and they committed to really assist us in achieving those goals. On the issue of the availability of people, yes, the issue of staff is one of the key things that we identified as we spread. We need to have an integrated plan, a master research plan. So as we install IT, people need to be there. But we identified which hospitals are high volume hospitals, and then hospitals where they can be serviced by someone who can be regarded as a roving person. And then depending on what time do people get discharged after giving birth, we are able, as we work with the hospitals there, to be able to have a proper schedule. So there are hospitals where there are fewer beds, and there are hospitals where there are higher volume beds. And we need them to allocate our resources in such a way that they are being fully utilized. And that is why we have to look at that model. And then on the issue of the office, I think I must, just as the DG indicated at the beginning, appreciate the role that the NCOP has played in the oversight and addressing and really bringing the matters to our attention. It assists us then to move quite quickly. For the issue of really tall grass, dirty environment, and as DG indicated in the budget, there is a clear indication of our commitment to improve front offices, both in terms of refurbishment and environment. But then the issues of filth and really debt is really a mindset, Chairperson, as you've indicated. Because no one wants to stay in a house that is dirty. Why then would our officials really dump water that has filled over? Allow. This is just a mindset issue that we need to change. And various efforts then have been made to really deal with the culture that we people have been disowning their own responsibilities because they think it's just a place of work and accumulating money and go home. And yet it is in fact where you spend more time. So we're trying to deal with that, and that's why this has been specially crafted now into the strategy of the department. But also then the issue of taking services to people, including the issue of Falaza High School, we did see that there was an issue of a late registration of beds there. And the officials not going there. The department has been very clear within the campaign program that one of the key things is to go to school and the mobile unit must be made available for that. But secondly is the issue that where birth registration in the remote areas is not possible to be done via the big trucks, the mobile, That is where then the DG indicated that already 25 four by fours were purchased, so it can be able to penetrate in those type of environments. And we will be using those to really reach out to places where bed registration cannot be done using the mobile unit or the hospital or our offices. And therefore the issue of the schools and them not, we will just have to make sure that we'll monitor the program that the offices submit on how they use the mobile unit. But if we don't monitor it, that is where there will be bias in certain areas and not others. And that is what we, using the stakeholder forum that we have now, it assists us to really direct where we should be concentrating. Because communities are able then to tell us, in fact, this is the area that needs more attention. And then, DJ, as we indicated, the issue of two-song centers, we need to make sure we continue to work with both the DPSA as well as the DCIS in making sure that our presence in the two-song centers is ensured as soon as they open a new two-song center. And the challenges around connectivity and the routers are some of the things that then our IT goes in there. So we always ensure that that two-song center is fully functional. It must be an office, because people can't be told we are collecting applications, then we are taking it to a main office for it to be processed. So using IT connectivity and everything else, and we are able then to make sure that two-song centers are able to work. Even recently, I had an engagement around asking where is the vision, where are the new two-song centers going to be built? Because if we get that plan from CCIS and DPSA, we are then able to filter our own plan so that when it opens, we are there. And already now, we are occupying a number of them, we are in a number of them that are there. And then on the issue, this is that you indicated around the IT campaign, or the screening committees first. Screening committees, who serve in those committees? The committees were designed in such a way that it was mainly department officials that were put on those committees. But the minister came with the new thrust, a new role of communities to participate. And in that then, she said we must, was the committee should accommodate what we call people of potential. In other words, people who work within the committee. So currently we are in that process of identification of people of potential. And these are people who can be professionals, people who can be chiefs, people who can be religious from the faith-based organization. But it's really people who can, on the spot, assist us to confirm that the identity of this particular family and this child is there. And then that, in the view of the minister, eliminates this tendency of saying, no, you must come back again for interview. It allows us to do what we call adjudication on the spot of the interview. So the committees are being restructured currently, but we are already doing the adjudication on the spot to try and prevent this backlog that we spoke about earlier. But that is how the committees are structured. We are just beating them up now. On the children of the immigrants, we still register them. Every child must be registered in the country. But you do not capture them on the national population register because they are not South African. But we keep the record because then a child, like during exile, those who are South African exile, they would not be registered as citizens of those countries, but they will have a record that the birth occurred in the child was born. And that is what we currently are doing. We register them just like all our children, but are not captured on the population register. I believe, Chair, I have covered that. On the issue of the campaign with the IEC, the minister and the department generally, when there is an ID campaign specifically targeting elections, there has been always a problem where officials will be either put on under tremendous pressure, and they will then take any dictum and error, South African or not South African, fraudulent or not. It just created a mess, and it corrupted our national population register. So what we have now is this national campaign that has been running and has been advanced and has been highly marketed, and the president personally and led the launch of that, is to ensure that every South African, by the time we get to those elections, every South African should have come out of the woods and we should have been able to register them.
Mm.
In that way, people will understand that the value of an identity document, as the DG said, is an enabling document, not for voting only. But voting is just one of those things that but our citizens of this country must have their ID because then it enables them to be able to do everything to go by in their daily life. And therefore, when we work with the IEC, we will definitely, in fact, we are working with them. We've always done that. They we will be engaging with them. They will know, even in their own advocacy campaign, to tell people, apply now. That's why even the political parties are being asked in parliament to say, encourage people to register now and be on the population register so that we do not create an unexpected consequence where people think there will be a massive campaign for the election. ID is more than the value of a vote. It is about the life of South Africans. They will stay hungry if they wait for that now until they wait for election without accessing social grants for who deserve to access, without getting RTP for who deserve. That is the context and the basis for that.
Just a follow up on that one.
Members, the conditioning system is not working, and some of us have entered a very important stage now.
Yeah.
You see that we are busy waving, doing all those kinds of. Yeah. Yes.
Are you saying, through you, Madam Chairperson, that the registration of the ID document will carry through from now right through till the next election, election? Then I'm satisfied. Thank you.
Yes, the campaign is going through for the late registration of birth, and Minister will announce on the target timeline. But the intention is really to say that LRB are people who have never been registered on the population register. In other words, South Africa does not know they exist in the country. So that one is a different timeline. And then the one of the 16-year-old and above,
mm-hmm.
will continue. It is also having a timeline of over 2 years. So that after that, we just make sure that anyone who comes to our office is a 16-year-old who needs an ID, not someone who is 25, who is 50, saying I'm applying for an ID for the first time. In that way, then it will coincide with there will still be an issuance and continuous marketing of people to get ID. But it will not be a dedicated campaign to say, hey, 2011 local government election, now come and get an ID.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I was new to the issue of the relationship between defense and the Honourable Members are aware that defense, the Department of Defense is responsible for the borderline integrity. And that the Department of Home Affairs, they are responsible for the border post and immigration function at the border post. So the relationship that we have with the Department of come across undocumented immigrants coming into the country, other than at the port of entry, that is in our borderline, and will bring these undocumented migrants or immigrants to the Department of Home Affairs. We will then proceed with the deportation of such, or where such individuals claim asylum, we will deal with their asylum. So that is the relationship that we have. They apprehend them at the borderline. They then hand them over to the Department of Home Affairs, either for deportation or for the processing of asylum claims if there are any people seeking asylum. With regard to the chairperson, to the issue of the second one of the official DM to the border management agency. Initially, and in the first phase, we were looking at, and we have at present, to contact someone to the media, not only one official, but someone from our legal unit as well, because the stage where we are in now is the conceptualization of the As soon as this conceptualization has been done and there is a plan for the implementation of it, every government department involved with the BMA will now know what their role is there in terms of what part of the organization or what part of the organization will now be moved or seated to the border management agency, which part will remain with the organization. And by doing that, we will then be moving part of the organization over to a new border management agency. The mechanics of that still has to be stretched out by this team that has been set to get put together to conceptualize the creation of the border management agency. And the official that we have seconded there is part of that team that is dealing with the conceptualization. So as soon as that conceptualization is done, we will play a much more prominent role, not only us, but the other role players in border management will play a much more greater role, because we will be, for us, for instance, within the Department of Home Affairs, some of our units belonging to immigration, to our border, of our port control function, such functions might have to be treated to a border management agency. So it's really filling the conceptualization phase. As soon as we have moved beyond that implementation, we will play a much more greater role in the creation of the BMA. And we will also be able to plan accordingly, because there will be a plan for the creation of it. With regard to human trafficking, we have, this is, as the chair has noted, led by the Department of Justice. But in the intergovernmental team that has been put together, we play a leading role in human trafficking. Our members at our ports of entry have received training from an NGO that has been, the Department of Justice has procured to train us on issues of human trafficking. Specifically for us as Home Affairs, to be able to identify victims of trafficking. And also, we have embarked on an awareness campaign during the course of last year, the latter part of last year. We had an awareness campaign with the Department of Justice on human trafficking. We also have a role to play in the documentation of victims of trafficking. So where victims of trafficking are discovered, they will be brought to the Department of Home Affairs so that we adequately document them so that they stay in the country. We also have a role to play in the repatriation of victims of trafficking, so they want to be returned back to their home. What we are also doing, in our analysis, is that we are also analyzing trends in human trafficking so that we are able to, with other government departments, counter
the threat. Any other responses?
I think you've covered it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Also, the last one is level 9.
Yeah.
The program, and it's not a training situation, but rather a change management situation to my coaching and to get people in terms of their attitude and their mindset around how they'll be required to deliver in terms of service and also how to care and then deal with the public going forward in the community areas of environment and all of that. So they are important.
I will open for the last round from the members to also make comments or questions. The smart card ID project, I know that it was suspended at some stage, and according to the report that you have given us, or the strategic plan, there is still no progress so far in terms of ensuring that you implement this particular project, we would like as a committee to see an accelerated speed in terms of implementation of the smart card, because we of the view that the smart card ID system will enable the department to solve most of the problems that we are experiencing, especially with other sister departments and other things that that relates to the smart card issue. We would like it to be to speed it up, that kind of a project. And members?
You already posed the question about the smart card ID.
Okay.
I think what the department can do is give us a report on the performance on that, Madam Chair. I like the idea of the dashboard for IDs, but I'm actually worried about the dashboard for the immigrants and all those certificates. Is there a dashboard for that also? Then the other one is the illegal miners. Those people at the mines, do the department also visit the mines and check if those are employed? They do have the ID documents. That is what I'm actually also worried about. And that is one of the reasons why, or that is one of the ideas and the work we can do to find out if the miners themselves, the owners of the miners, don't give work to people who don't have an ID document, because it is very important for them also to have that ID document. The last one, Madam Chairperson, I think I will leave the other two out. Is on page 21, the add the service points, additional service points, 10 and then to 20 and then to 25. Will that separate offices adding to the ones we've got, or will that points inside the offices where we as Department of Home Affairs are now situated in? Can you just get more information about that one? Page 28, 10 for 20 for 29, 10, 29, 20, 10, 11. I think that's the spreading there. And where will these separate offices be? What will the term of the office, the work they deliver to the people, will it permanent one, or will it only be a separate or just a specified period? And what will the staff complement be for that special separate service point? Yeah, I think that's all. Thank you, Madam Chairperson.
Okay. The Auditor General report on the government printing works, last day it received the disclaimer. I haven't heard much, or I missed it in your input on how do you, what are the intervention measures that you put in place to try and assist this area to move out of the situation.
Thank you. This question, let's say whether it's a question or it's around access to information. Also, that will actually enable us to better serve the community and to strengthen the role of the oversight role of parliament as well. You would know that, and the committee will have content advisors who have researched the information. So the key thing for us is that we get that information. And, what I'm actually advocating for is some kind of partnership between us and the department in terms of assessing the safety raw data that we can actually run analysis of it ourselves and maybe help us or inform the decisions that the committee will take in terms of the oversight role as well. Because what I've noticed that Home Affairs programs are mainly IT-based,
and you're collecting a lot of information about the population itself. And I suppose the data is sitting somewhere in your system. And I'm just wondering if we would be able to actually access that information. If we are able to access the information, what can you do as a special arrangement with the department or whatever?
Okay.
Yes. Again, I think we could do the illegal numbers and then with the call 1025% given something with the CPW and the access to information. Tell us about the smart card. So the smart card is let me say it's a torn into the tissue. Because we remember that this issue was with Twitter and the processes that were there. So the view of the minister was that in 2010-11, there is nothing going to be done with the smart card. The smart card is a closed issue as we speak. However, from August, we were the treasurer with a proposal around the smart card. Because this smart card, it cannot be viewed as only as a DHA issue. But yes, we might be linked into it, but the Department of Transport, the Department of Health, and all that. So that's what we would be doing with the smart card. So it says for 10-11, it's off the table. So FITA must close their issue as the department, that matter is closed because it couldn't be in the result. Then from August, we would go to Treasury and say what smart card we could do and all that. Hence, the target to push for this life capture and everything for the processing of IDs and passports. So that by the time now you go into a smart card, this has been resolved. Or this is not resolved, you still sit with a problem when I want to produce this smart card. So that is the approach. So that's what we'll be doing about the smart card. So it is coming in 11-12, not in 10-11. Yes, this DPW, I mean, it's a tricky question in the sense that actually, let me just say, there is no intervention which was done. I think it's a question which has come, which I think is something which as a department we need to look at. More special that there is this relation, but at the end of the day, these financial statements of DPW are in the department's financial statement, but I'm sure the department was still sink with its own problem, so it was difficult to look beyond first. But I think it's an important point. So let me say, it's something which we need to look at it. I think we have a plan with the DPW and say, you are reporting to the same minister, so what is happening? Never posed that question to talk to the DPW. I think it's the first time I think it's brought to our attention, but I think it's a relevant question which we need to talk to the DPW. Access to information and partnership, I think it's something we can look at. So maybe they will drop us something in terms of that. Then we can look at it as a department how we can be able to talk to the DPW. But a lot of our information is public. I don't see why we won't give it to you and then give it to others. So, and we know that the more you get that information, what we're looking for is the assistance. We're saying we can't be everywhere. So that's why we're happy. As we said, that when you get letters sent to us, this employee is doing this, this one is doing that, then it does help us to do that. So I think if now you can talk to so then you can start to do that partnership and you can get that information. Okay, then we can take this illegal minor check.
Thank you. Yes, question for you. In the normal course of duty of our inspector division, we do spot checks that employers do check on undocumented foreigners that might be employed in the building. And with regard to illegal miners. In 2008, for instance, we did a check on how much they mined, when we detected about between 600 and 800 miners that were not documented at the time. Some of them were deported as they were detected, and also we are teaching from what the mining court has been fined for watching the process of the I think what we need to do within the department is really to speed up or to have more such campaigns and such things at employer places, because the main reason for people coming to South Africa is to see the work. And if we have an employer that's ready to influence people that are not documented, it just exacerbates the problem, because it is a pull factor to South Africa. And we are planning as well to have much more interaction working with the regular community around the issue of the employment of illegal foreigners or undocumented foreigners. But we have already looked, we are looking at this as part of our normal function of our inspectorate to do spot checks of certain employees.
So,
follow up.
Yeah, so there is a program in the Department of Home Affairs to run those interventions.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's not a program at the level of a campaign like we have the other campaigns, but it's part of our normal work that our branch, our inspection branch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Another response?
The service point, we inspected all the properties as the teacher was indicating the word initiated. What we are doing is that we prioritize in terms of the rural. We looked at the criteria was firstly in line with government programs of rural development, and quite clearly that those have been the highly underserved areas. So we developed the criteria that says the provinces will identify firstly the issue of the rarity of the area or the farm area. Two, we then said to them they must then look at the issue of currently the accessibility of our offices and how far they are as we they operate and people, what are the distances to travel. I can just indicate that even now we, as the department, has introduced also another strategy of having head office officials supporting provinces, going out there instead of us sitting in what is previously called Ivory Tower. What has happened is that then clearly there was an indication where you would discover people are paying almost 200 to get to a Home Affairs office. So the strategy then was they identified the rarity, the rawness of the area, number two, the size of the provinces. We then gave them according to the size of the provinces, and we said each province, we broke down that the province, this is the quota you must be able to deal with. For example, KZN was given a higher quota compared to Northern Cape because those are not the same.
Mm.
Then they're supposed to do the work that the UG was indicating about then feasibility and working with CBW to say where are we supposed to be. And finally, maybe just to indicate and share that the department established what we call channel management, which looks at various forms of footprint expansion and accessing the services of the department. So in that, one of the key things is not just to have buildings or fixed offices, it's to also using our mobile offices, using the hospitals. They are part and parcel of our channels to render services. So when we talk about grid footprint expansion, it must be in the context that it is bigger than just a fixed office, because South Africans are highly mobile also. But you find that there is a need at that stage for this informal settlement, and then tomorrow is not there, and you can't get an office, but you need to render service. So we're looking at multi-channel strategies to help render service. The staffing, we're working with the department, with our HR, as a department, and to make sure that when we open offices, they do not become white elephants, and then whatever problems. For example, we've been in KZN, even in Mhlabuyalingana, currently doing the assessment, and it was quite clear, working with social development in KZN, and I think the minister will talk to that too. Because we were looking at really the north for presidential program also, where areas have been identified as highly poor, people can't access, can't even afford to travel and to get on a taxi. So all those things were taken into account by the government in establishing the offices. It hasn't done speaking was not there in the past. We were just opening, and you find that you have no offices in a centralized area and not in the area of need. So minister came with back to basics to say, no, you are not in isolation of affairs. Work with your provincial government and other departments, work with SSA as well as SIR and HSRC to determine where your office should be.
So at this stage, I think I will take the opportunity to thank Mr. Aplene and Kim for the presentation, the briefing that you have made to the committee, and also the committee is satisfied and happy by the initiatives that have been taken by the department to deal with some of the critical areas that we have raised with the department before and address them by means of developing some programs to try and address those issues so that the service delivery is improved to our people. And I just want to emphasize the issue of our interaction with those GPW, your film, and also electoral commission board. We will be having that interaction, and we will appreciate the department if you also can pay special attention to these three areas in terms of ensuring that you look at their activities and also the manner in which they are managing finances in those areas so that they can be assisted too. With those few words, I would like to thank you very much for your presentation and pass our regards to the minister. We'll see her next time.
Yes.
It's her day, yes.
And also, I think we have to start the process. Maybe we can know as a department when GPW is coming.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be good.
On time.
And then we can see how we can
start
creating that understanding of our responsibility.
Indeed. No, we'll communicate that on time because it's in, we can do that program on ourselves. It doesn't lie in somebody else's office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll inform you on time. And also apologize for always informing your department late. It's because these plans are done elsewhere. So when they come to us as chairpersons of committees, it's already late. There's little that maneuver that you can do in terms of informing you on time. So that's the difficulty that I'm having as a chairperson of the committee. Yes. Denise?
Yes, I would like to make an announcement on behalf of the minister that tomorrow there will be an AUA budget vote, and which we should end at 17:30. That she is inviting the student committee to come along to view the display, the budget vote display, at the courtyard, and also near Tenerife, where we'll be having two mobile units.
Okay.
And then that will take us to 3 o'clock to the dinner that the Bachelor already invited you to at 3 o'clock, which will be at all the assembly residency.
Thank you very much. Okay, I think we can call it a day. Thank you very much. But members of the committee, can you remain just for 10 minutes so that we can plan for Thursday for the day?
Yeah.